There's a story about a storm that blew down almost all of the trees in this large forest. All of the trees, the biggest, the strongest trees, were all either laying down or they were broken off. And we've seen those sights before, right? Over at Pilger, right? Quite a few years ago. That's what Pilger looked like, didn't it? Almost did again, didn't it? Here. That tornado that was outside the other day. The story goes on like this. There was one small tree, we could call it a sapling, that was left standing in that forest that had been leveled by this storm. One of the large trees that was laying on the ground beside the sapling looked like it had never seen the storm. Still standing straight up. That large tree that was laying there broken off asks that little tree, says, "Why are you still standing when the rest of us are all laying on the ground, uprooted and broken off?" And the little tree said, "Because I learned how to bend with the wind." There's some wisdom here for us as Christians. The world would have us believe that bigger is better. You need to have a bigger house, a bigger paying job, or a bigger income, or a bigger retirement. You don't have to look too hard to realize, though, that there's a conflict between what the world says and what God's Word says. Peter, in our second reading, the epistle, you can open that back up. I'm kind of going to jump around in that text, so don't get carsick with me. But we're going to start in verse 14 and through 16. You can follow along with me. He writes to the Christians in Asia Minor, "But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame." In a sense, Peter is calling suffering the wisdom of that little sapling. Suffering is like bending with the wind because of the will of God. And since we are Christians, we should be seeking God's will in all parts of our lives. And sometimes that involves suffering for the sake of Christ when we do right by the will of God versus the will of the world. God may put us in different situations for different circumstances. He does that, and we have a choice. We can either learn from it as He teaches us. We can be strengthened by it, and we can be drawn back to Him, to trusting Him in those and with those circumstances. The Bible promises that we will be given no more than we can handle. Meaning that we will experience trials, suffering, temptation. And the way to endure it is to be like that tree. To bend with the storms in life by leaning on the Lord. Our text today, Peter makes a connection between our suffering and Christ's suffering. Our suffering does nothing to earn our salvation. Yet our suffering that we experience reminds us that Christ's suffering was every much a part of giving us that forgiveness of sins and the promise of a resurrection from the dead, life everlasting. To do this, he refers to the Old Testament, to Noah. We see Noah had a similar thought process here. He had warned the people about this upcoming flood. All of the time that he was building the ark, he was warning them. But it didn't make any difference, for only himself and his family were saved from the water. And so today, we ask the question, is our faith worth the suffering? If we look at it from a worldly perspective, we would say, no, it's not. But that's not the perspective that Peter teaches us to evaluate our situations. Instead, he makes us aware of another perspective. Peter encourages us to look at our suffering as a result of our Christian testimony from the perspective of Christ's suffering. The suffering of Christ, Peter says, has changed the world once and for all. And to make his point, again, he refers to the days of Noah in verse 19 and 20. You can go back to that with me as well. I'm not going to reread it, but it's an interesting reference about Christ preaching against the spirits of the people from the time of Noah. But it quite possibly what Peter is saying is that no one is unreachable for Christ. Everyone has potential to believe, which lines up with Peter's theme in this section as being witnesses of Christ. So the point here is that the most important thing concerning our witness for Christ isn't necessarily measured by our results. Because Christ can do amazing things with our witness of him by caring and sharing a positive witness. And to do it, as he says, with gentleness and respect. We should not be concerned about the results of our efforts, necessarily. Instead, we should be concerned about having a clear conscience when you lay down on your pillow at night. Which means that you can say to yourself, I've done what God's word says of me. And that is what matters most to me. And I'll admit it's not easy. It's easier said than done. And so often we justify and wear these masks around until we get caught. Hopefully you don't wait to get caught. And you repent, as we talked about in Bible class this morning with Nehemiah. See, we as people default to our sinful nature every time. It's Satan's game. He loves to invite you to play it with him. This is the way of the world. I am tempted to do what I want to do, what I feel like I should do. And if I get caught, I'll just try to justify it away. And if I can't, then maybe I'll stop. You cannot live in this world without being influenced by the ways of the world, no matter what you think. That's why we have to have each other. I always say Christianity is a contact sport. You can't play it alone. The problem is we naturally default, as I said, to the ways of the world. It's in our blood. It's our nature. With this in mind, Peter jumps to the topic of baptism. He compares baptism with the flood, how Noah was saved through the water, how it destroyed others, but it saved him and his family. How baptism, God saves us. Not because the act of baptism is a magic bullet or a lucky rabbit's foot to force us into heaven and say, God has no excuse. He has to take me. I was baptized. Nope. If you reject him, Jesus says, he won't know you. Because baptism is what points us to the hope that we have after this life. After this life, we have the hope of that resurrection. Peter says, because baptism points us to the reality of Jesus' resurrection, who sits at the right hand of God, to whom all powers in heaven and earth are subject to. It's not just, baptism isn't just a sign of repentance, but it's God's gift to us to use in this life into the next. It's our baptism that when we're tempted to go with the ways of the world, we remember our identity first as a child of God. And then we hopefully realize that we are about to fall into some kind of sin and try to mask it. And that instead of trying to mask it, that we would repent and not do it. Or maybe right now we're not living according to God's word in one way or another. You're still a baptized child of God. You know what you need to do. Stop living with the shame and the guilt that your sin brings, that you continue to try to mask and disguise. The key is that confession. That's why pretty much every service we have this corporate confession together. And then we hear those words that you are absolutely forgiven. Not my words. It's God's word to you and to me. Another way the world differs from God's word is how that we deal with the subject of suffering. The world says suffering is bad. And I would agree with part of that statement. But as Christians, our suffering in this world is not in vain. It's a means to an end. Ultimately, our suffering connects us to Christ's suffering. As I said, His suffering is the beginning of us receiving forgiveness and the hope of eternal life to those who believe in Him. The suffering began with Adam and Eve in the garden recorded in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says that sin brought death into the world. And since then, we've been suffering ever since. Maybe you're sitting there today and you're not suffering at all. You feel really good. You feel full of joy. It's Mother's Day after all, right? But then some of you are sitting there not feeling so great. You're facing some pretty big challenges. Maybe some of the biggest challenges you've ever faced in your life. Whether you're a mother yourself or you recognize the mother figures in your life, today is still a time to recognize them. Even in the midst of our challenges that we face, there's still good news today that we don't suffer alone and our suffering is not in vain, because our suffering reminds us that Christ gives us strength through each day. His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness to us. We can rejoice in our baptism that places our suffering according to the will of God. Baptism places our suffering for the sake of Christ in a different perspective than that the world has. It makes our suffering not only bearable, but that we even may have glimpses of joy in our suffering. If you remember, a few weeks ago we had the reading of the disciples who were kicked out of the town. They were stoned out of the town, and they were rejoicing on their way out, right? Suffering. Dear friends, I want to close with this. God says to you today, dear child, you are on my side. No matter what you face, I will take care of you. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. We lift up all mothers in prayer, thanking God for their sacrifices, their love, their selflessness. We pray for those who've lost their mothers, asking you to comfort them and give them strength during this difficult time. Let us also remember those who have struggled with infertility, praying, God, bring them peace and comfort too. And finally, we pray for the mothers facing challenging circumstances even today, including illness or financial struggles or family difficulties. May God grant them wisdom, guidance, strength, and peace as they navigate these difficult times. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.